Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de la región de Murcia. Pruebas específicas de certificación. Nivel B1. Convocatoria, junio 2019. Comprensión de textos orales.
Marlon Brando was born in Omaha, Nebraska, in 1924. He was named after his father, a salesman, but his family called him Bud. His mother, Dorothy, was an actress in the local theater. He had two older sisters. Marlon Brando's childhood was not happy. His parents drank too much alcohol and argued often. Dorothy Brando blamed her husband for the failure of her acting career. The older Marlon Brando did not have a good relationship with his son. In a book about his life, the actor wrote that his father never had anything good to say about his son.
The Brandos moved many times when Marlon was young. His parents separated when he was 11, but they reunited after 2 years. Young Marlon was always getting into trouble at school. His father decided to send him to a military school in Minnesota. Marlon did not do well in classes there, but he did find support for his interest in theater. A drama teacher urged him to begin acting in plays there, and he did, but he was expelled from the school for getting into trouble.
Marlon Brando moved to New York City when he was 19 years old in 1943. He took acting classes at the New School for Social Research. One of his teachers was Stella Adler, who taught the method style of realistic acting. The method teaches actors how to use their own memories and emotions to identify with the characters they are playing. Marlon Brando learned the method style quickly and easily. Critics say he was probably the greatest method actor ever. One famous actress commented on his natural ability for it. She said teaching Marlon Brando the method was like sending a tiger to jungle school. Marlon Brando appeared in several plays. He got his first major part in a Broadway play in 1947 at the age of 23. He received great praise for his powerful performance as Stanley Kowalski in the Tennessee Williams play, A Streetcar Named Desire. His fame grew when he acted the same part in the movie version, released in 1951. Marlon Brando was born in Omaha, Nebraska, in 1924. He was named after his father, a salesman, but his family called him Bud. His mother, Dorothy, was an actress in the local theater. He had two older sisters. Marlon Brando's childhood was not happy. His parents drank too much alcohol and argued often. Dorothy Brando blamed her husband for the failure of her acting career. The older Marlon Brando did not have a good relationship with his son. In a book about his life, the actor wrote that his father never had anything good to say about his son.
The Brandos moved many times when Marlon was young. His parents separated when he was 11, but they reunited after 2 years. Young Marlon was always getting into trouble at school. His father decided to send him to a military school in Minnesota. Marlon did not do well in classes there, but he did find support for his interest in theater. A drama teacher urged him to begin acting in plays there, and he did, but he was expelled from the school for getting into trouble.
Marlon Brando moved to New York City when he was 19 years old in 1943. He took acting classes at the New School for Social Research. One of his teachers was Stella Adler, who taught the method style of realistic acting. The method teaches actors how to use their own memories and emotions to identify with the characters they are playing. Marlon Brando learned the method style quickly and easily. Critics say he was probably the greatest method actor ever. One famous actress commented on his natural ability for it. She said teaching Marlon Brando the method was like sending a tiger to jungle school. Marlon Brando appeared in several plays. He got his first major part in a Broadway play in 1947 at the age of 23. He received great praise for his powerful performance as Stanley Kowalski in the Tennessee Williams play A Streetcar Named Desire. His fame grew when he acted the same part in the movie version, released in 1951.
When I was 4 months old, my mother died suddenly, and my father was left to look after me all by himself. I had no brothers or sisters. So all through my boyhood, from the age of 4 months onward, there were just the two of us, my father and me. We lived in an old gypsy caravan behind a filling station. My father owned the filling station and the caravan and a small field behind, but that was about all he owned in the world. It was a very small filling station, on a small country road, surrounded by fields and woody hills. While I was still a baby, my father washed me and fed me and changed my nappies and did all the millions of other things a mother normally does for her child. That is not an easy task for a man, especially when he has to earn his living at the same time by repairing motor car engines and serving customers with petrol. But my father didn't seem to mind. I think that all the love he had felt for my mother when she was alive, he now lavished on me. During my early years, I never had a moment's unhappiness or illness. Once I was old enough, I spent all day in the workshop helping my father with the cars. The filling station itself had only two pumps. There was a wooden shed behind the pumps that served as an office. There was nothing in the office except an old table and a cash register to put the money into. The square brick building to the right of the office was the workshop. My father built that himself with loving care, and it was the only really solid thing in the place. It was a fine workshop, big enough to take one car comfortably and leave plenty of room round the sides for working. It had a telephone so that customers could arrange to bring their cars in for repair. The caravan was our house and our home. It was a real old gypsy wagon with big wheels and fine patterns painted all over it in yellow and red and blue. My father said it was at least 150 years old. Many gypsy children, he said, had been born in it and had grown up within its wooden walls. With a horse to pull it, the old caravan must have wandered for thousands of miles along the roads and lanes of England. There was only one room in the caravan, and it wasn't much bigger than a fair-sized modern bathroom. It was a narrow room, the shape of the caravan itself, and against the back wall were two bunk beds, one above the other. The top one was my father's, the bottom one mine. When I was 4 months old, my mother died suddenly, and my father was left to look after me all by himself. I had no brothers or sisters. So all through my boyhood, from the age of 4 months onward, there were just the two of us, my father and me. We lived in an old gypsy caravan behind a filling station. My father owned the filling station and the caravan and a small field behind. But that was about all he owned in the world. It was a very small filling station, on a small country road, surrounded by fields and woody hills. While I was still a baby, my father washed me and fed me and changed my nappies and did all the millions of other things a mother normally does for her child. That is not an easy task for a man, especially when he has to earn his living at the same time by repairing motor car engines and serving customers with petrol. But my father didn't seem to mind. I think that all the love he had felt for my mother when she was alive, he now lavished on me. During my early years, I never had a moment's unhappiness or illness. Once I was old enough, I spent all day in the workshop helping my father with the cars. The filling station itself had only two pumps. There was a wooden shed behind the pumps that served as an office. There was nothing in the office except an old table and a cash register to put the money into. The square brick building to the right of the office was the workshop. My father built that himself with loving care, and it was the only really solid thing in the place. It was a fine workshop, big enough to take one car comfortably and leave plenty of room round the sides for working. It had a telephone so that customers could arrange to bring their cars in for repair. The caravan was our house and our home. It was a real old gypsy wagon with big wheels and fine patterns painted all over it in yellow and red and blue. My father said it was at least 150 years old. Many gypsy children, he said, had been born in it and had grown up within its wooden walls. With a horse to pull it, the old caravan must have wandered for thousands of miles along the roads and lanes of England. There was only one room in the caravan, and it wasn't much bigger than a fair-sized modern bathroom. It was a narrow room, the shape of the caravan itself, and against the back wall were two bunk beds, one above the other. The top one was my father's, the bottom one mine.
Welcome to Canada. Let's start with the basics. Nearly 36 million people call Canada their home. While that may sound like a lot of people, the nation covers a massive 9.98 million square kilometers, making it the world's second largest country after Russia. The country also leads the world in education, with over half of Canadians holding a college degree. There are two official languages in Canada, French and English. In primary school, it's a requirement for English speakers to learn French in order to foster bilingualism. And speaking both languages will come in handy when you visit the predominantly French-speaking province of Quebec. But it's not your only option for a good time. Canada has 9 other provinces and 3 territories that its residents call home. Across this expansive and geographically diverse landmass, where you can find everything from mountain ranges to prairie lands, you'll discover that Canada also has more freshwater lakes than the rest of the world's lakes combined. So many lakes, in fact, that the country has simply numbered many of them, as opposed to providing each of them with their own name. And not only are Canadians some of the friendliest people you'll ever meet, they also share the largest unprotected border in the world. These days, the country is proud to celebrate its impressive backdrop with over 15 million travelers every year. Let's find out what adventure awaits you in Canada. Adrenaline junkies need to look no further to find experiences that are sure to get their hearts thumping in their chests. If you're a fan of winter activities, then consider yourself especially lucky. In Western Canada, there are world-class mountains ripe for skiing and snowboarding. From the famous Whistler Blackcomb to Cypress Mountain and Big White, you can't call yourself a snow bunny if you haven't conquered British Columbia's slopes. If an invigoratingly chilly hike is more your thing, then embark on a glacier tour, trekking the rugged 10,000-year-old ice fields of Alberta's Icefields Parkway, one of the largest non-polar ice fields in the world. You'll drive, trek, and drink from these staggeringly beautiful forces of Mother Nature. Afterward, you'll certainly have earned that soak in Banff's Upper Hot Springs. Wintertime offers a never-ending itinerary of exhilarating activities. Travelers can go snowmobiling along. Welcome to Canada. Let's start with the basics. Nearly 36 million people call Canada their home. While that may sound like a lot of people, the nation covers a massive 9.98 million square kilometers, making it the world's second largest country after Russia. The country also leads the world in education, with over half of Canadians holding a college degree. There are 2 official languages in Canada, French and English. In primary school, it's a requirement for English speakers to learn French in order to foster bilingualism. And speaking both languages will come in handy when you visit the predominantly French-speaking province of Quebec. But it's not your only option for a good time. Canada has 9 other provinces and 3 territories that its residents call home. Across this expansive and geographically diverse landmass, where you can find everything from mountain ranges to prairie lands, you'll discover that Canada also has more freshwater lakes than the rest of the world's lakes combined. So many lakes, in fact, that the country has simply numbered many of them, as opposed to providing each of them with their own name. And not only are Canadians some of the friendliest people you'll ever meet, they also share the largest unprotected border in the world. These days, the country is proud to celebrate its impressive backdrop with over 15 million travelers every year. Let's find out what adventure awaits you in Canada. Adrenaline junkies need to look no further to find experiences that are sure to get their hearts thumping in their chests. If you're a fan of winter activities, then consider yourself especially lucky. In Western Canada, there are world-class mountains ripe for skiing and snowboarding. From the famous Whistler Blackcomb to Cypress Mountain and Big White, you can't call yourself a snow bunny if you haven't conquered British Columbia's slopes. If an invigoratingly chilly hike is more your thing, then embark on a glacier tour, trekking the rugged 10,000-year-old ice fields of Alberta's Icefields Parkway, one of the largest non-polar ice fields in the world. You'll drive, trek, and drink from these staggeringly beautiful forces of Mother Nature. Afterward, you'll certainly have earned that soak in Banff's Upper Hot Springs. Wintertime offers a never-ending itinerary of exhilarating activities. Travelers can go snowmobiling along.
Fin de la prueba.